Welcome back to live from Vietnam. Homer J. Cole, Atheon Crocker, Dennis Smith Jr., Michael Williams Jr., Bone Crusher Smith, Ray Mercer, Dennis L.A. White, Morey, Bomb Shelter. Oh, the list goes on and on. I'm joined tonight live from Vietnam right here. My man, the podcast extraordinary golden era rapper straight from the 2-6, Paul Masson. And as always, the man that keeps us straight, the historian, my man, Mr. J. Gentlemen, how you doing this week? Mr. Paul, how you doing?
I can't complain, man. Good week. Good week for Circle of Kings. Good week for everything. A lot of shit going on. A lot of shit going on, man. Just to throw this out there, our TikTok post went up like 200% in views.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
That's
bad. That's goddamn short. So also, Mr. J, what kind of week did you have? Bring us up to speed, man. I know you got a lot going on with the blogs, everything else, as you prepare to launch your independent movie. Bring us up to speed, brother.
Yeah, man. Like I said, got the blog popping. I always try to keep the Underground Experience blog right there on empiremusic.com. Put us on it, you know what I'm saying? Try to make sure we, you know, keep things going, get more views, get more likes, let people know what we got going on and show love. Of course, MJ Hip Hop, MJ Conics, just did a little blog write-up on us, you know, and on myself. About the album that I just, you know, dropped last year, and about the documentary that's going on. So, you know, just trying to get us some more views, some more love, see everybody, you know.
And I definitely saw that. I saw that, Mr. J. I read that blog. It was a great write-up, actually. Mentioned also about the documentary that you've been working on about the history of the 2-6 music scene and the IMDb credits and everything that's involved, that's what's up, man. You know what I'm saying? So, man, first of all, man, as always, we all three want to welcome y'all to the show and make sure you hit them comments and them likes down here in these boxes and whatnot, because we got some dope topics here tonight. I want to get right into it because as me and Paul Masson would say, it's something near and dear to our hearts. We're going to talk about the dopest white rapper category. Who the dopest white rapper to y'all? I'm gonna go right in and just jump at Paul. I'm gonna jump to the camera. Paul, who the dopest white rappers, man? Let's talk about it.
All right, well, the typical, you know, is Eminem that most people would say. A lot of people would say Everlast because he's the first, you know, white solo rapper. A lot of people will shout out the Beastie Boys because they're the first white rappers. Me personally, I gotta go with somebody like Ill Bill from Nonfiction.
Oh,
Ill Bill from Nonfiction is totally dope. Totally dope. Another one I think that's overlooked and slept on is Apathy. Apathy is so dope. He got the voice, he got the delivery, he got the lyrics. He just gets overlooked. I know a lot of people are big on Vinnie Paz. Vinnie Paz.
I'm not big on Vinnie Paz.
Yeah, so. That's because you kind of resemble Vinnie Paz, probably, I would say.
No, Vinnie Paz kind of resembles me. That's how that works out.
Okay, so Vinnie Paz resembles you, so you don't really like Vinnie Paz, but he's pretty dope. Mac Miller, I didn't realize how big he was until he died.
Man, hey, I don't want to jump, let you go.
But go ahead.
No, I don't want to step on you because I just want to interject really quickly that Mac Miller was a really trans, you know, a dope white rapper. I don't want to say that. I'm going to get into that, but I want to segue and go back to you. Paul, you got some more to add? I'm sure you do, man. Right before I go to Mr. J.
That I saw in a comment, somebody put that Tom McDonald cat, and he do be spitting. Now, I did see in the comments somebody posted Jordan Lucas. I don't know what they was thinking. Like, only one of Jordan Lucas' parents is white. As much as I love Jordan Lucas, we can't get him in the white rapper list.
But it's also quite obvious. I mean, we take him in the draft, we're probably top pick in the race draft, Dave Chappelle.
Now we was doing the Dave Chappelle, what was that, Dave Chappelle race draft?
Yeah,
we could draft him over to the white side. We could draft Jordan Lucas over to the white side. Yeah,
and I'm sure his mama would not fuck with us because she doesn't. So,
isn't J. Cole mixed as well?
Also, his mom would not fuck with us either. J. Cole's mom would not.
So yeah. We can't draft him to the white side either. But yeah, I would go with Ill Bill and Apathy is my top two. But there's a lot of dope white rappers, man.
There really is. And you know what I want to say is that doing research on this topic, of course, we all have that natural inclination of who we think of, right? Doing research on the topic, you realize that there are a lot more than you thought. Mr. J, I would love to hear what you have to add to this. Mr. J.
Man, like you said, I love Slug and Apathy. I like Brother Ali. And ELP.
I thought it's LP. Well. LP.
Well, LP.
Well, yeah. So just like when I first saw Eminem, I thought his name was Eminem. ELP. I thought it was ELP too. LP. I like that. That's doper. Thank you very much for that clarification, Mr. Masson, named after a cheap liquor from the 90s.
Not to cut nobody off, didn't Slug used to go by the name Atmosphere or something like that?
He did, and as he should. But Slug, I'm aware of Slug. Like,
well, the group
Mr. J.
Oh, the group was Atmosphere. Oh. The group was Atmosphere. Okay, thank you, Mr. J. Thank you.
Mr. J, as always, the historian. That's what he's here to set us straight. So, Mr. J, what else you got? Come on, man. I know you got something else over there. You sleeping on us.
Well, I said Brother Ali. I said
ELP.
Action Bronson gets a honorable mention.
Fake ass Ghostface Killer gets no mention from me.
Hold up, man. I got to defend Action Bronson over here, man. He got a nice food show.
I do fuck with his food show, though. I fuck with his food show, for real. And I will speak for, Tony Sparks when I ask Tony Sparks when I say he don't fuck with him. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh,
Ghostface don't fuck with him.
No, not like that.
Okay, so, Mr. J, you got that's good. You good with that? With your take on that, or what? What's up?
One more I'd like to put in there. R.A. the Rugged Man.
Please. Definitely. Oh, wow. Yo, that was a great. Yo, bro. R.A. the Rugged Man. That is slept on right there because a lot of motherfuckers don't even know he's white, man. I'm going to just be honest with you. Because he probably one of the hardest crews ever. He rhymes hard as fuck. And if just like when my record came out, a lot of people didn't know I was white. They were upset. They're upset. But man, what a name.
He been out for
that was dope, man. That was dope, Mr. J. Because I did not have him. Somehow he slipped through my cracks. But that shit paused. That shit was dope. So, all right. So that brings it to Big Face Man to me. And I just want to say this, man. I go a little different. Like, I do recognize that Eminem is the dopest white rapper of all time. I mean, he mastered the technique. Well, he sold more records than Elvis Presley. He's won Battle Olympics. He definitely fought his way through it. Yes, we can look back now and say you've been successful, but he did come from the mud. And he is lyrically, he has lyrical prowess, and he sold records. So I don't want to focus on that. That's not where I want to focus. What I do want to focus on is the cast behind the Beastie Boys. Come on, man. For me, yeah, that's my top three. We're going to do my top five right now. They're there. They were the first hip-hop artists to go platinum, period. Black, white, whatever. Beastie Boys was the first platinum hip-hop artist. Google it, motherfuckers. And there you go. So, I mean, that's there. And for me, my favorite white boy, Yellow Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Motherfucker be tearing shit up for years. Ever since Box Chevy. And I fuck with him. Shout out to my homegirl, Leo. Leah, fine ass white girl, biker chick. She turned me on to him many, many years ago. And she was fucking right. She also turned me on to G-Eazy, who be crushing it. Another white boy that's crushing it out there. G-Eazy. All right.
Let's talk about Everlast. You all got the same hairstyle.
All right, we're going to move on from that. So, Everlast. Absolutely, Everlast. House of Pain, Jump Around, one of the dopest. And then even before that, Ice-T's, the Rhyme Syndicate. Everlast deserves to be here. Then he flipped it around. He went white boy on y'all. And he dropped a multi-platinum album with him and an acoustic. So Everlast is there. He has to be there. He's top five. That's your top five white boys. But then you get into the Paul Wall, baby. Come on, man. Give me my Paul Wall, baby. Where y'all at? I mean, give me my motherfucking Mac Miller. Yes, then you get into that. Post Malone, baby. I mean, these dudes, they're many. Kid Laroi, my son's favorite artist is Kid Laroi. He liked the Juice, and he liked Kid Laroi. And then you got Lil Dicky. I mean, these cats, they're white artists. We're not even giving them their due. They're in the culture now. It ain't Vanilla Ice, motherfuckers. This is not your daddy white boy rappers. So this is different. These motherfuckers is here. The Jack Harlow, they're not going nowhere. Jack Harlow, if you saw White Men Can't Jump remake, I was ready to shit on it. It was pretty dope.
It was dope.
I mean, so, and his records is dope. And shout out to somebody nobody ever heard of, but I'll tell you right now, put you on to something. Peter Jackson. He a white rapper out of Canada.
He's from Canada. Yeah, he's from Canada.
Got a long history of collaborations with dope MCs. I personally know him. I managed Mac 10 years ago that was affiliated with him. The dude does professional business and has built a solid career up there. So Peter Jackson, shout out to you, bro. Shout out to you, bro. You know, Facebook loves you, bro. But so just slept on. I know my boy hate on this right here in the comments. Hate on the whiteness of this shit. Because these motherfuckers is legit. And we're not going to talk about Logic because he's black. Or join, you love to say Logic, but he's half black and white. But see, because he looks white, oh, y'all going to play him out. Jordan Lucas, somebody said, that was a pound comment, which I responded to. I mean, come on, bro. Y'all love to say this one drop. First of all, shit don't mean nothing to me. White, black, purple, I don't give a fuck. But if you want to play that game, then I'm not even going to claim Logic. By the way, he's fire. Motherfucker can rap. So, I mean, there we are. I mean, anybody have anything to add before we move on to the next topic? Paul Masson.
Nah, man, I think we good. I mean, we talked about a lot of white rappers right then, like the mainstream cats. I mean, Eminem is definitely the most successful. I wouldn't say he's necessarily the dopest. Early Slim Shady is super dope. Early Slim Shady is super dope.
Well, shout out to MC Search.
MC Search.
Oh, wow. Yes, yeah, man. How could we do that? I will say I don't like some of the stances he takes, but I will say you can't question his or Mr. Pete Nice, the Prime Minister, Sinister, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They both deserve recognition. I can't believe we didn't mention them. Mr. J, yeah. With the save as always.
You know what I mean? Special shout out to MC Search, though, because he showed us love on our message to Hip Hop Joint, too. So,
by the way, we don't
get with Pete Nice, though. The only problem I got with Pete Nice is Jones calls me Prime Minister. There can only be one.
Well, I have a bare knuckle shit with that on Circle of Kings.
I'm with it.
I think you can fuck him up because you know he only has one leg. So I think you can fuck him up.
Oh, yeah. And I only got a metal rod on my leg. So.
Quiet as kept. MC Search might put some money on that.
But well, Pete Nice.
He better bet on me.
Well, I'm asking you this. Are we talking, can Pete Nice wear his leg or does he have to hobble around to fight Paul? Does he have to hop and do like the bitch on I'm going to get you something with no titties?
I'm gonna get Redneck Mundell to train me in It's a Rap.
Let's leave Mundell out of this where he fucks. He already threatened to fuck everybody up, period. And your mom's, I think, at one point. So look, I'm gonna moderate this because Paul said I'm letting this shit get out of control with you boys. So here we go to the next topic, which is interesting to me, of course, is the Benzino and Busta Rhymes beat, man. So Benzino is upset that Busta filmed the video with his daughter where she is scantily clad. We're going to start with Mr. J on this. Mr. J, do you have any thoughts on this? I mean, what are your thoughts on Benzino saying, yo, he should have hit me up first before he let my daughter be in his video scantily clad?
From what I've seen online about interviews, when somebody addressed it, Busta basically said, yo, you had my number. If you had an issue, you could have called me before this even went down. So, and his daughter's grown. I mean, why are you beefing with, it'd be a different thing if she was like 16, 17. Your daughter grown. What are you doing? Like, it doesn't make any kind of sense. Talk to your daughter.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. J. If then, what would you do if he wound up on you and tried to slap the fire out your jaws?
I don't think so. I don't think that's going down. This ain't the source.
Yeah, he's in the wrong weight class for sure. And so, Mr. P, Paul Masson, man, Paul Pickett, Triple P, extraordinaire. What do you think about this situation, brother?
Well, we're talking about a guy who had to buy a magazine just to get his album to
be on the mics. God, I hate him.
To get 4.5 motherfucker mics in the source. You know,
he couldn't fit half a mic on his own joint.
Yeah, he bought a magazine so his album could be put at 4.5 mics. I mean, damn, if you bought the magazine, you might as well put it at 5 mics. He's like clout chasing. Benzino is always a clout chaser, man. You know, he's got a... You know, just sit back, man. Your daughter's always dressed like that in the first place. And I know Busta, man. Like, Busta's a very professional cat. You know what I'm saying? He is probably just was all professional. It's like she had her costume on and gimmick and role. And it's no beef, man. And I don't think Benzino want Busta Rhymes, because Busta Rhymes, unlike my man Rampage, he worked out when he started eating good. He started working out, so Busta Rhymes would throw that.
Why do we always have to bring out the last Boy Scout? God damn, I mean, garbage ass motherfucker. I mean, he get...
Because they both ate good on tour, and one of them hit the weights.
I know Busta Rhymes, too. Can I have an album? Thanks. All right, so, Paul, obviously, can I take my glasses off of this shit? Because I'm about to get fucking serious with y'all. No, I'm not going to, fuck you. So, I'm going to say this. Benzino, not only did he ruin The Source, which was once proud magazine, he ruined the motherfucker. Not only did you lose the beef with Eminem horribly in the public arena, not only did you get caught on drug charges, not only did you date a transvestite, but now you want to bitch about your daughter making 50 stacks to wear basically what motherfuckers wear every single day in this day and age. Man, you're not relevant. This won't make you relevant. And I would pay money to see Busta Rhymes punch you in your snot box, bitch. Because I hate this motherfucker. He's horrible to hip-hop.
I do, too. I hate him, too.
And so I was born in Brockton, Massachusetts. I want to say this. I'm going to go back to you, Mr. J. I'm sorry. But I was born in Brockton, Massachusetts. I was raised in North Carolina. I love my city. This is my city. The fan, no, I'm 2'6". Motherfucker, everybody knows it. I'm the ear of the city. But I'll say this. Benzino, as the Boston rapper, you bring shame to everybody from the... By the way, we didn't mention your boy, Millie's. How did we not mention him? White rappers. Wow, Millie's.
He got a lot of comments today.
I can't believe I didn't mention him from a home, my born state. Millie's, just go back this. Sorry, Millie's was crazy. He's nice, crazy nice. Anyway, but back to Benzino's bitch ass. He is everything hip hop should not be, bro. I'm gonna just tell you that. Fuck that.
Hey, Can I throw this out there? Can anybody name?
I gotta go back to Mr. J because I know I gotta go back to Mr. J. I will come back to you, Mr. Okay. J. You had something to add? Go ahead.
I would say his Deja Vu song with Made Men was the second, the far away second best Deja Vu.
It was hot fucking garbage. It was hot garbage like everything else he ever did in the music industry. Paul Masson.
No, it's funny that Jay says that because I was just going to ask, can anybody name a fucking Benzino song to save their
fucking name? Well, I can name Made Men songs. Made Men, yeah. Made Men sold records out of the Northeast when Ed OG gave them their cosign. But, I mean, goddamn, man. I mean,
what
he's
about
garbage.
Almighty RSO? Almighty RSO. Can you?
RSO, yeah.
I can't name one song.
I can't, and I'm from there, but I can name a dope-ass album cover. I mean, that's some great marketing. And remember, at that point, there were no other Boston artists other than Guru. And Guru went to New York. Now, but he definitely proclaimed his heritage. There wasn't Massachusetts. Come on, man. Massachusetts. It's not where I go for my hip-hop. Sorry to tell you. Even though I was born there, it's not where I go for my hip-hop.
Can we say the only smart thing Benzino did was buy the Source so he could promote his own fucking album?
I won't say that because he ruined the magazine. I won't
he
say that.
He ruined it, but, you know, he only bought it to try to promote his shit, really. Is that what? That's what it was.
Well, he only bought it because he got ragged in that same periodical over and over, same as XXL, same as every other periodical. Benzino got smoked and everything he ever tried to do.
And he ain't gonna waste no time coming out with no song on Buster, cause that'd be like the dumbest.
Square jawed ass motherfucker. Looks like he got two. Looks like he got Dizzy Gillespie balls in his mouth. Yeah, somebody balls. Eminem's little small balls in his mouth. Oh, jowls ass head ass motherfucker.
He got a dope white rapper's balls in his mouth.
Yikes. Okay, so gentlemen, we're gonna move. Everybody cool on the Benzino subject? Anybody have anything to add, Mr. J or P?
Fuck Benzino, man.
Thank you. That's what we have to add. All right, so next, I mean, I have to look right here. Oh, my man. Near and dear to my heart, my favorite ignorant motherfucker has been caught sleeping on the side of the road with cocaine all over in his possession. Kodak Black gets arrested for cocaine possession. Yeah, absolutely, Paul. Absolutely. Yeah, please do.
Man, first of all.
Hey, hang on. First of all, here's to you, Kodak Black, you ignorant bastard. I love you to death. Here's the panties. Not the best thing in the world, but right next to it.
We need to go ahead and legalize drug use. That's my issue. We need to go ahead and legalize drug use.
At least for Kodak Black.
At least for Kodak Black. If you're going to fall asleep.
Can we just give it? How you fall asleep with cocaine, with 4 grams of cocaine in your shirt? The man said he stood up. Go ahead. I don't want to say it yet. Go ahead, Paul. Don't turn me loose.
I mean, you know.
I got Kodak on my phone, bro.
I mean, Kodak's body, Kodak's choice, man. I mean,
yikes, man.
As long as he ain't fucking hurting nobody, he ain't harming nobody, and I ain't seeing him really doing that, you know. You passed out on the side of the road, 4 grams of coke on your shirt. I mean, what are you? You're not harming nobody, man.
How you got 4 grams of coke in your shirt? Hey, motherfuckers, they got 4 grams of coke in the last week of waking up and saying, I want to smell my keys. So,
I mean, have you seen you seen that Lord of War movie? The motherfucker had coke lined up like the whole fucking country of Ukraine. So, I mean, 4 grams in your shirt, I mean, that's nothing. That's nothing. It's just like, that's recreational, man, for a cat like
especially that. When you got a Sprite bottle full of lean in the door handle and a half ounce of weed in 2 blunts and weed all over the car. Anyway, Mr. J.
I would expect anything from anybody looks crazy as shit like Kodak Black. I mean, he looks crazy as shit, yo.
I mean, his name is not squared off Jim. So, Mr. J, what do you have to add to this? By the way, Mr. J, somehow your camera has migrated into you just being a milk dud. I don't know how it keeps happening. We gotta have to work on this camera because it keeps drifting into darkness.
It's crazy.
All right, Mr. J, what do you have to say about Kodak?
Go ahead. I'll do my Kodak Black impression. That's it.
That's it. I got a great one because I love the kid. I've met him a few times. I love the kid. Poor kid. He's misguided.
I don't know, man. I guess legalize drugs so they can tax it to help people get off drugs if they want to.
Look at my two libertarians I have here.
And the whole. What can you say? I mean, he's gonna do.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with legalization.
He's gonna do what he does, and you just gotta. I don't know.
You fucking hypocrite. I don't agree with legalization.
Why you? I'm the moderator here, sir. You stick
in this bitch.
I'm the moderator here, sir. Remember that. I want to say this. I like being a criminal. I want to remain one. Thank you. But no, what I want to say is this, man. Shout out to Kodak Black, man. Shout out to Kodak Black for going to sleep on a couple grams of coke with four in your fucking shirt. I mean, goddamn, you're a god, bro. You gay. My man said, I'm smelling keys all the way to the crib, and I'm falling asleep while I have a bottle of lean in the door handle, and then I was busted with an ounce of weed and blunts, and I smelt the weed and had crumbs. Bro, my guy, he was supposed to hit me up. I was supposed to be in Florida this weekend for the fights. Kodak, man, that was my guy right there. I would at least got us back to the hotel, bro. No, you can't fall asleep on. I don't know what kind of Columbia marching powder you got there, brother. But you can't fall asleep on the booger shit. I don't know how you do that. Man, I will say this, but straight from here. By the way, so y'all know, y'all might call that back Black, but that's my guy Billy, Bill Capri. My guy Billy, I call him Billy. Hey Billy, man, you wild it out, dog. I'm just saying, Billy, you wild it out. And so, I mean, he tried to eat the coke, so his mouth was full of coke. He was asleep. How do you sleep with a mouth full of coke? And then when the man turned around, he caught him a coke, and he had a mouth full, but you still had 4 grams. And the man had 8-ball, bro. He bit the 8-ball on that. And anybody, I'm going to say this, anybody will eat an 8-ball in half and then sprinkle the rest and then get off with a $5,000 bomb. That's why I'm moving to Florida. I love Vietnam, but I'm moving to Florida because he got out on 5K. All that I just listed on the side of a highway, $5,000 cash bomb, he's out. Florida, I will be having my U-Haul and my pod sent there directly after the next fight, BKFC 57, February 2nd. At the Seminole Rock Hard Rock Casino in Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Florida.
Can I say all something? Funny you Please. Say that, because I was daydreaming today, man. Like, this Circle of Kings shit is probably going to have us moving to Florida. You know?
Yeah,
I ain't going to lie. I was like daydreaming, but to the Kodak.
At least we'll be able to.
How
be easy traffic
our fall asleep on an 8-ball. How the fuck do you fall asleep while you snort an 8-ball?
How do you eat half of? I think he was faking sleep. I think he was faking. He thought, you know, if you play dead, he thought you only, you know, felony. I'm playing dead.
It might have been baby powder. It might have got shorter.
Oh no, I don't think it was baby powder because it's Miami baby. It was straight yellow. It was straight juicy fruit. That should have your dick not get hard for 2 weeks, dig. That was a straight hard shit.
They getting that real good raw.
That's kind of Leonardo DiCaprio was putting in bitches' assholes. That's what he was doing with that.
Straight from Straight the beginning.
All right, so anybody have anything to add to my close-fit Billy Caffrey getting busted on cocaine possession.
Nah, before
which
we,
is
we get
easy.
To the next topic, though, before we get to the next topic, let's go ahead and run a Circle of Kings ad.
Oh, absolutely, man. Here you go.
All right, here we go.
Bye. Absolutely. Make sure that you are checking out live from Vietnam, the Paul Pickett podcast and Circle of Kings. Also follow that on YouTube, Instagram, everywhere you get your media. But man, we've got great things planned for the new year with my brothers right here. All kinds of multimedia straight out of the 2-6. But you back. Welcome back to live from Vietnam. I'm joined here as always by Paul Masson and Mr. J. So we're going to go into the next topic right now, guys, which, as always, I love this topic right here. So Wu-Tang has got the first hip-hop Vegas residency. And if you guys don't mind, I'm going to start this out really quick, then I'll push it along to each one of you. Man, hey, Wu-Tang, man, hip-hop residency, Super Bowl weekend, the 9th and the 10th, the 2 days before they have the Super Bowl in Vegas. That's huge, man. It's huge for the culture. It's huge for one of the biggest, the number one rap group of all time. We can argue this very earnestly, guys, with Public Enemy and a list of other groups. But Wu-Tang changed hip-hop. They changed the way hip-hop was viewed. They changed the way contracts were made. They changed the way solo acts were viewed. They unleashed 8 platinum artists out of the... I mean, it's just 30 artists. It just goes on and on. But the fact that these are the first hip-hop artists to have a Vegas residency, which we've seen the Bette Midler's, the great the Lynyrd, you know, the Led Zeppelins and the Britney Spears, these are hugely lucrative endeavors for these people, right? And Wu gets it, man. I love it. I fucking couldn't love it more. I couldn't love them more that they're gonna do a Super Bowl weekend, bruh. I want to be there. I think I'm going to go ahead, and that's going to be a present for me and Paul. I'm going to take me and Paul there. We ain't going to Super Bowl. We're going to fucking go see Wu-Tang. We're going to fly in that bitch and fly back out. Right? Watch how we do this. But I want to go first to Paul. Paul, what do you think, man? Wu-Tang residency, I mean, going residency, which is very, for it's a year residency there in Las Vegas.
I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, they are the biggest hip-hop group, you know, ever. I remember playing like basketball in the back of Gallup Acres, and Wu-Tang was just nonstop bumping over and over and over again. You're right, they changed the deals because they had this situation where they was able to get all these solo deals on all these different labels.
Totally unheard of at the time, by the way. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, it was never heard of.
Totally unheard of.
The labels would always try to get
against the rules
deals in-house. And the only label deal they had in-house as a solo was, I think, Raekwon.
And I don't want to interject, Paul. I'm sorry, but it's so funny. The only reason they let RZA sign that deal was because the genius who had already released an album and the RZA who had released Prince Rakim had been flops. So they thought it was going to be a plot, so they signed the deal. And I bet, it's the best fuck you, bitch, I got you, bitch moment in hip-hop. Sorry, go back to you, Paul.
And you know, the Genius album is not as bad as the RZA album when you go back and listen to it. Just the marketing.
No, the Genius. Genius is the best rapper in all of the... Genius is the best artist in the whole Wu-Tang Clan. But anyway, that's another subject for another show. Back to you, Paul.
Yeah, so they definitely changed the game. The only thing that used to get me with Wu was like, that was so big, you had cats like You Got that just couldn't play their part, man. Master Killer, like, wasn't even supposed to be an official member, comes in and plays his part. He's the greatest, like, group member ever, team member ever, you know. But Wu-Tang definitely deserves this. I mean, I can't think of, maybe NWA is the closest impact group. Public Enemy, but I think Wu-Tang was just so big because they.
I will say this. So Wu-Tang Clan, yo,
Eight
so hang on. I don't mean to interject. I want to interject, but Wu-Tang Clan is the new addition of the hip hop game. Supergroup wise. They all went out solo. Like new addition, every one of them went out solo and crushed it. Same thing with Wu-Tang. Nobody's ever done it, only those two groups.
I used to call them the Dream Team. They like the Dream Team.
Still to this day. Mr. J, please, what do you think about the residency of Wu-Tang in Las Vegas?
I think it's dope. I think the only thing that may be a little, give me a little bit of trepidation is how they're going to execute. I hope they can get, you know, they may not get everybody at the same time because Method Man's doing, you know, television. A couple of other guys are doing other little side projects here and there. But if they can get them, you know, this 2-day run or 2-day one right before the Vegas before the Super Bowl is basically like a test run. You know what I'm saying? And they
They signed the deal. Like ain't no test run. I mean, they signed the. I looked at the contract, Mr. J. They signed a 13-month. Yeah, they're there. So I mean, they're gonna do. You're looking at 52 shows by Wu-Tang Clan in Las Vegas next year. 52 shows.
But I'm saying, you know, as far as like figuring 52. Out how they work it.
Wow.
As far as figuring out how they work it, you know what I mean?
They have now they do double shows. They're doing 2 shows and 3 shows in some days, but guys, so it's not like every week, but it's at least once a week, and they have options to be in that venue with the ball. They're gonna do a Wu-Tang in that giant immersed, which that crazy That's venue, crazy. That ball that Which I would pay big money to see that, bro. Could you imagine being immersed in a full Wu-Tang show in that ball with all their hits, the dopest catalog you can imagine? That's what I love about the Vegas residents for me. They have the catalog, guys. They can literally sit you down in a chair for 2 hours and you will never say, yo, this song whack. Nah, man. And that's just, they literally could. Mr. J.
The core group.
And we're not even talking about Sons of Man or all these other dudes that's dope that they could bring in to these residents. There's no stopping them from bringing all these. By the way, while we're talking about this, Capadonna is the weakest member of Wu-Tang. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. So anyway, we're going to go on from that.
That quick shot.
Fuck you, Capadonna. Yeah.
Can I?
Me and him go back. I'll punch you in the face, bitch.
I agree with that. Please. You know why? I agree with that because he did the Winter Wars, and he went off in the Winter Wars, but you never heard him spit like the Winter Wars ever again. He did like what was it like 32?
Yeah, I had a personal beef with him. I don't know. Whatever.
And that was
I don't know what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's garbage. Yeah.
But okay. I would say you guys the weakest member.
No. Okay, they can arm wrestle. I bet you got to arm wrestle the shit out of that bitch. Hey, you guys, shout out to you, bro. Capadonna, bare knuckle, right? I'm the circle again.
We saw Capadonna at South by Southwest, so shouts out to Capadonna.
Yeah, short bitch.
We love you,
anyway, Cap. So let me get a hold of these crazy fools here. Does anybody they have anything to add on the outstanding announcement for all the hip-hop? That Wu-Tang has been the first cat, the hip hop act to sign the Las Vegas residency.
I just wonder who would try to be the second to try to follow on. Somebody gonna try to follow in their footsteps. So
I'd love to see Missy do it. I think she could be amazing, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. J, who you think could be? He already doing it. I mean, shit.
No, I'm saying he could open the door for other people to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just for the record, so they're opening Super Bowl weekend, 9th and 10th, there in Vegas. And then 11th is the Super Bowl, and Usher and Rihanna are doing the halftime show. So we lost Mr. J. Terrible. Here he comes. Anyway, so Mr. J, since you peaced out, I want to let you know, they're opening 9th and 10th their residency, then the Super Bowl's the 11th, and you have Usher and Rihanna doing the halftime show. I mean, that weekend in Vegas is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Straight up. I'm saying. So Usher kind of opened the door for everybody to come in and start doing those Vegas residencies as far as, like, you know, urban artists.
Well, you can't compare Usher to fucking Wu-Tang. So he might have opened the door to Ginuwine, but he ain't opened the door. Wu-Tang just opened the door to NWA.
Yeah,
Wu-Tang opened the door to... I mean, who can we see? LL Cool J could definitely do a Vegas residency, right? That catalog is amazing. LL Cool J, right? Who else could you see? Well, let's keep it going. Who else could you see doing a Vegas residency?
Drake.
Parmesan. Well, he's current. I don't see current, like, yes, but he's still there, right? No, not necessarily. It could have been somebody that just not right now has not gotten the throat. You know what I mean? Like, so you can see Madonna. Madonna does Vegas residencies, right?
Jay-Z could do it.
Absolutely.
Jay-Z could do it. Hov could
definitely. Absolutely. That would be huge, huge, huge.
M could definitely do it. While we're talking about dope white rappers, M could definitely
But I'll say this. I will say this, and this is always the knock on Marshall Mathers. While he has lots of songs you may know, man, it just ain't really a top 40 catalog or of hip hop. It's not something, even me, as a, you know, I'm white. My father Portuguese, but I'm white boy, man. Raised here, that was called a white boy, whatever. I don't bump around bumping Eminem. I'm saying, like, I mean, all respect to him. I look at his bars and go, man, it's amazing writing as a writer. Sure. But nah, I don't bump him, so I can't see him doing that. But I'm sure they pay. I'm sure there's a bunch of white folks love to throw their shekels down to see the rap god, you know. But for me, yeah, Jay-Z's a great. Mr. J, who else you think?
I think Lauren could do it, but then again, every show.
No, she not. No, she can't. No, the fuck she. She ain't gonna be there, Mr. J. Goddamn.
Like I said, every show will be late.
Even drunk motherfuckers get annoyed, bro.
Could Outkast do it? Outkast
could definitely.
Oh, wow. That would be, yes, man. That would be a man. They need to throw all the money in the world at that. If they could do that, because I'd fly out for that. Everyone would, though, right?
Shows would be amazing.
I think the Dungeon Family Collective might be.
Yeah, they can bring out Goody.
Man, don't even. Hey. Mr. J, don't get me on my Rolodex, bro, because a bunch of them dudes are like friends of mine. I mean, I don't want to stretch this shit out, but
Outkast would be amazing. Yeah.
Well, no, the whole Dungeon family. Yeah, what he's talking about? Family,
yeah.
They can put together a crazy. First of all, shout out to all that movement, everything, the whole Soul Food, Goody Mob, Dungeon Mob, everybody involved, Rico Wade, everybody involved. Okay, so. I do want to get on to the last topic before Paul get pissed off because I'm not moderating correctly. So we talked about earlier, of course, white rappers. And, of course, this is live from Vietnam. And, motherfucker, this is our city. Nah, I mean, we're here. We want to talk about, and then we got a history going back into the early 90s of cats, you know, doing the thing here hip-hop-wise. We want to talk about what are the dopest white rappers from the 2 cents. Wow. People going to really hate on this. And I love it. Because
Because if we miss a name, they're going to hate on it.
So I'm going to miss a whole bunch of names because they wasn't dope. But let's go.
Let's start with some of the first. You got Big Face. You got Nervous Wreck. Definitely PJ from RSP.
Project. Billy Ray Ford.
Yep, you got Pro from BTS.
Sinatra, my man.
And I would have to say Paul Masson. That's like the originators.
That was definitely the golden era. And Sinatra being the kid, by the way. He was just a kid then, just so you know.
Yeah, he might be.
But I will say this. Hang on. There was another cat because I played his Ric Flair and I played a bunch of tracks from this dude. I'm going to go back to that because for some reason I'm getting a mental block right now because that dude was mad nice with it. And I hate to leave him out this list because that's crazy that I'm doing that. His name was Jay. But I'm going to come back to that. The dude's dope. But go ahead.
You don't remember his name?
I do. I'm just drawing a blank. So I want you to move on.
There was another white dude around the time. I can't remember his name. That was pretty nice.
So I played this joint for you. We listened to it in your studio. That Ric Flair joint where he sampled Ric Flair, but then he was rapping. Super nice, and he's still nice. Like I'm mad that I'm drawing a blank. I don't want to stay on too long, but go ahead, Paul.
I mean, that's the originators. I mean, you got the E-Dubs and Low Keys that came later. Low Keys was definitely one of the nicest. Definitely one of the nicest when it comes to like just spitting bars, making good records. Probably had a lot of good label interest. Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot more. So who am I missing?
All right, so I'm gonna go to Mr. J, and then we'll fill in the gaps. Mr. J, it's from your historian point.
Like I said, Ida, Low Keys, Nerf. You know what I'm saying? The two of y'all.
Hang on, motherfucker. Hang on, Bo. My name ain't the two of y'all. I'm just telling you that right, goddamn now.
Just the two of us. Just the two of us.
And them dirty white boys.
Dirty white boy.
That's me. Okay, so I want to interject. I'm gonna come back to each one of you, but I want to interject really quickly. First of all, I don't give a fuck if you white or black, whatever. Hip hop is the great unifying factor of our culture, and I appreciate the fuck out of it. I happen to be a white boy who was raised without knowing his pops was Portuguese. In a black household, shout out to my dad, Anthony Earl Talmadge, had nothing to do with this, but he's a black dude. So had nothing to do with any of this. Hip hop is hip hop, right? I want to say this, E-Dub is the greatest white rapper from the city. Not only does he have like 7 or 8 projects with the Dark Side Camp, any other mixture of Up South 30, Circle of Kings, he originated the Circle of Kings name, by the way, but he also has his own independent solo project, Scapegoat. He was a member. Him and 30 traveled the country winning battles, famously winning battles that people don't even know about. I mean, they're sleeping on them. E-Dub was Big Face 2.0. I've known him since he was a kid. The dude can flat out spit, write whatever you want. Dude, a genius on many levels. So, I mean, that's tops number one on the list of Fayetteville. The dopest white favorite rappers of all time is E-Dub. That's the dopest.
Shout out to him. I remember him. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Please.
I remember, you know, him coming out to Greensboro in the NCUMAs, and he was out there with me in the NCUMAs doing his thing out there. Also, he's probably one of two people that I know of from the city that's had their features in Hip Hop Weekly. The other one is me in Hip Hop Weekly. So
not only that, Mr. J, but there's been multiple times when the city has been attacked or what otherwise by a rapper. And at one point in 2013, some medium rapper from Charlotte attacked us, and he released 100 bars, man. And if you really want to hear a motherfucker spit some crazy nonsense for 100 straight bars, go listen to that from, and we're going to post that somewhere. Get with me, Paul, because I got the song.
He dissed Fayetteville?
Yeah, an artist dissed Fayetteville from Raleigh. And then E-Dub responded and murdered the guy. Went 100 hard, crazy, bounce-ass bars on the dude, obliterated him. But then I want to get into Loki. Okay, I didn't finish my take. I just started. There was my dopest white rapper from the video, okay? So, and then from there we go, of course, into, I don't know if y'all heard this dude, one of the dopest voices ever out of the Ville, you know, ear and all that. Big Face. We're going to leave that at that. Then we got, I love Low Keys, man. Not only the Low Keys, the whole vibe, man. He lived it. He lived it. And dope artist. You got Nerve. Hey, shout out Nerve, Brian Unger, man. Nerve Rick, one of my close personal friends. Bomb Shelter. A seminal group, the biggest cornerstone of all of Fayetteville hip hop, Bomb Shelter. They gave us J. Cole. which we gave us our relevance. Even though we're relevant to us regardless, it gave us our national and international relevance. And without them boys, you wouldn't have J. Cole. I'm just tell you that right now. So then we got somebody y'all haven't mentioned yet, right? My producer at the time was also a dope white rapper, Sloan. The Slizza, man, me and him, that's my brother, man. First of all, shout out to Slizza. We're going to put this up for you because a man is up in upstate New York, has been for many years, now a radar tech, technical shit. Yo, me and that dude, man, that's my guy, man. Without him, there's no Big Face. There would never be a Big Face without Sloan. So we linked up, and we basically every weekend lived together for 2 or 3 years, where we would get our equipment and get together and make, you know, hip hop. And Sloan is a dope artist. I'll rap me in an instant. All right, so Big Face, Sinatra, definitely shout out Sinatra, man. Pro, man, big ups to you, bro. Big ups to BTS. One of the first crews to really integrate interracially like that. And then you asked not, he was really young then. And he held his own with some dope artists. Sonny the Star, Cali, I mean, Kenny Mack. He had crazy, and he held his own. So big up to you, Sinat. And then, of course, my boy, Project P, AKA now Billy Ray Ford from RSP out of Bucktown, the Big 4-7. You know, the brother of the 2-6 music vibe. So, I mean, honestly, just like when we were talking about white rappers, it's funny, we like to joke, man, right? It's funny to me, even to me too, that white or whatever, but when you really start to look, you see how important that all these cats are really hip-hop. I mean, they in the scene. I mean, they're not white. We just hip-hop, dog. That's it.
Yo, let me correct something I said earlier. PJ isn't really from the Ville, but he performed at the Ville so much, he might as well be from the Ville. And let me ask you this, Big Face, just being a white rapper like me, how do you feel when they say, like, Eminem's a guest in hip-hop?
I mean, I understand. Well, guest in hip-hop? So, I'm like, man, P, like, we talked about this. It's a unique thing. All of us have a unique upbringing. I have a different thought process because I was raised in a black household. Whereas my mom was white and my stepfather was black, my sisters in the house were black. He is a guest in hip hop, man. I was a guest in hip hop, man. I really didn't want to be there like that. So I want to blaze my own path where I'm not a guest. That's kind of really why I did what I did. I'm a poet and I love to write, and I moved on to some other avenue because it ain't my avenue. While I understand the contributions that white dudes have made to hip hop, it's not their avenue. You feel me? It's a black art. However you want to feel about that, you can hate on me in the comments. That's what we like to see. But I mean, we are guests, P. We're guests in this medium, bro.
I don't know. I don't feel like a guest.
We're not because we're broke. We grew up in Trailer. Because me and Paul grew up in trailer parks right beside everybody. That's why we don't feel that way. And we're always going to feel that way. But the fact of the matter is, while me and Paul ain't guests, the rest of white folks are always going to be guests in that shit.
I mean, I feel like when you contribute, you can't be a guest, you know?
No, we can't be, Paul. But we will always be viewed as one. No, we would never be one, bro. And Mr. J knows it.
That's fine. We can't.
But what I want you to understand is that's the... But you have to understand that is the view, and I dig it. I totally get it. I understand it. I 100% get it.
What's Mr. J? You think? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm very interested to hear Mr. J's point.
I think we don't deal with nuance enough, and that's why it hits different for certain people. I think when you deal with the full on history of you know, just America. When you have black, you know, art forms and things like that, and people come along and have come along and kind of taken it and then said, well, you really, try to give black folks a stiff arm. Hey, you really didn't have anything to do with this. That's why you have that kind of existence. But we know that hip hop brings everybody together. We were talking about KRS-One. I went to a KRS-One show at Cat's Cradle.
By the way, who also hates white people.
Well,
I love him. He's one of my favorite artists.
I don't know.
He don't like white people.
A lot of different folks at his show. Yeah. But I say that to say this. In that show, there was an individual who was a biker, like straight on biker. You would have not never thought you would have saw him at a show at a KRS at Cat's Cradle. You never would have thought you would see somebody like that in that environment. But he's like, yo, I'm a KRS-One fan. I shut down my biker bar to come here and watch KRS perform.
Oh shit.
So
well, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to say this. Off camera, Paul, you weren't here, but me and Mr. J had a conversation about Chris, which is one of my that's why I want to cover that earlier statement. He's one of my favorite artists. Let's get that. And Mr. J knows this. We had this conversation. And I 100% respect his position in hip hop and everything he says. But I do sometimes think that bitterness shines through a little bit in that. Yeah. So that's why I preface that with what I said earlier. Oh, he hates white. I don't mean it in a blanket statement. I mean, he's a purist. And sometimes he's arrogant. And that's where I'm at with that.
And I think that comes from, like we said before, like he came from the mud, literally living on the streets. And sometimes you carry that with you, regardless of how old you get.
I wish Scott LaRock would have never been killed, because I'd love to see what him and him would have done if Scott would have died. I think they would have been amazing. Like, you know what I'm saying? KRS-One is still amazing. But I wish Scott would have never died. Anyway.
How long ago was that KRS-One show at Cat's Cradle, Mr. J?
I think he's been here maybe once or twice before that. But
I've seen him once at Cat's Cradle, and Nerve Wreck was actually there when I was there.
Yeah, I think that might have been the show. But that was a good while ago.
No, it was one of the best performances I've seen. I remember being the last person in the door. I turned around and looked, and he was there. He's tall as shit. And I called him by his real name. I'm like, yo, Chris, what's good? We just drove 2 hours to come see you. Much love, da da da. He dapped me down real quick. And 2 seconds later, all you heard was, whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. I'm like, oh my God, this guy don't wait, yo. KRS-One is a true performer, man, in hip hop.
I mean, listen, KRS-One is one of the, if he ain't on the Mount Rushmore, you're hip hop. I don't really know if you're down with hip hop. Like, he kind of has to be there.
Yeah.
Unless because people argue all the time that, of course, this one and that one, because they're talking about sales and platinum records. Hip hop really isn't about platinum records, man. It's really not about who sold the most records or who how many people outside of our community bought the record, right? KRS-One has always advanced the cause of hip hop. Therefore, motherfucker, he's KRS-One. Anyway, so does anyone have? So I want to give a shout out right quick while we're talking about this. I want to give a shout out to Phenom Trap God. My man, always holding it down in the city. We never mention this guy. Dope local artist. Local. I don't even want to say that. Dude worldwide. But shout out to my trap guy. Shout out to Eric Lottery and RNG Golf. Blowing up. Straight up. Dude right here. Shout out Day Uno, man. Keeps me fresh with some unhumble gear. And I always want to get a free shout out so I can get some commercial and get a free hoodie. But my man Day Uno, anyway. Dope artist, by the way. If anybody want to hear some dope artists out of the Ville, go Google Day Uno and hear some real dope shit. Paul Masson, man, you got anybody to shout out? Let's give me your products. I know you got so much going on, bro. Yeah, shout it all out.
First, I want to shout out some people that have been interacting on our Facebook topics. Shout out to OZ Chisholm, Lamar McNeil, Louis Favo, Chris Williams, my man D-Walk, Daryl Walker, Tim Parks, Byron Brooks, Teron Tyson, Keith Carter. Of course, shouts out to y'all. Shouts out to Circle of Kings, Underground Experience.
Please, hang on. You just can't say Lamar McNeil without just saying who the fuck that the fuck is. Shout out to Carolina Cool Slim, God damn, one of the dopest artists. That's who Lamar McNeil is, okay. Is Carolina Cool Swim. One of the dopest artists in the world. Fuck the city, fuck the state. Carolina Cool Swim, motherfucker, Lamar McNeil, go holler right now.
Shouts out to him for commenting, and we're going to tag him into the post, and I'm done.
All right, well, Mr. J, I know you got a lot going on. I know you got, come on, think about it. We got the blogs, we got the movie coming out, we got people supporting the movement, of course, and we people sleep on you all the time. Mr. J, the story of the 2-6, what you got, man? Pop me up.
Yo, shout out to y'all once again. Shout out to everybody who's supporting the movement, MJ Conics. You're saying One Heartbeat Away, that's the album that's streaming right now. Of course, go ahead and go to the website, www.empiremusic, music spelled M-U-S-I-Q, and go tap in to that fundraiser so we can go ahead and make this movie, The Underground Experience, the documentary, what it needs to be. Always show love, you know what I mean?
It's a Fayetteville way. So, as always, man, thanks everyone for joining us at Live from Vietnam. For me personally, man, shout out to Circle of Kings. Absolutely. Shout out to Paul Masson, man, engineer extraordinaire. Shout out to all the fighters and everyone letting us make that happen. Shout out to the city, the mighty, mighty 2-6, the best city in the whole goddamn world. You can fight me if you want to, bitch. Shout out to everybody out there moving and shaking. Shout out to Mr. J. Shout out to Mr. Jones, bro, who's rehabbing currently. Man. My man right here. We can't wait to get you back in the city. Hey, shout out to my man Latin Loonies, Christian Canales, my man, the visual extraordinary. You're going to be seeing a lot of shit. But shout out to both of y'all, man, because I look forward every week to chatting with my brothers, man, catching up. Absolutely great opinions tonight, man. And as always, man, a whole lot of shit right here live from Vietnam. Here every week. Make sure you like everybody, comment, follow, hit that shit on the bottom. That shit right there. You see it, bitch. If you use a hater, if you don't push it. So, and then if you got some shit to talk, I would, you know, me personally, Paul will tell you, I love to talk shit. If you don't like it, you can put it right there and I'll talk about your mama. Hey, live from Vietnam. Here we go, bitch.
We out. Peace.
Beats by Trill, straight killerville, dog.